I'm going to start this morning with a confession. Years ago, and this is not my confession, this is just an aside, I used to try to start my sermons with a funny story. I tried to make it be a funny story from my own life because it seemed to make people comfortable, seemed to put them at ease, seemed to make them a little more willing maybe to receive whatever profound wisdom and inspiration I was about to share with them. Sometimes, however, it seems like starting with a confession piques people's interest even more. Ooh, what is she going to confess? This might be something good. So, confession. Actually, this morning I have two confessions. And the first one is not necessarily anything very juicy. Here it is. I've never preached a Christ the King sermon. This is the first time that I've done that. It's the first time I've planned a worship service around that theme of Christ the King. It's not the first time I've preached on the Sunday before Advent, obviously. So I've had the opportunity to do this before. I've just never done it. And it's because that language, Christ the King, is a little uncomfortable for me. I think maybe that's partly because as Americans, we don't have a king. We're not used to using that title. That's not a culture. This culture of royalty is not something that we're used to. Another part, however, of what makes me uncomfortable is what the phrase implies for me with regard to what I'm going to call global evangelism. This belief that the ultimate goal of Christianity is that one day all people everywhere will confess Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The belief that the ultimate aim of Christianity is that one day all people everywhere will bow down to Jesus as their King. Christ the King. And here's my second confession. That belief is not one that I hold. And I realize maybe it's good that there are only a few of you here today because I feel like I'm stepping onto shaky ground by confessing that. But I have to say it. As I move into this first ever Christ the King sermon, I have to say that I do not believe that the foundational desire of God's heart is that all people everywhere in all times confess with their lips that Jesus Christ is King. In fact, I believe that this belief that the ultimate aim of Christianity is that all people everywhere will one day confess Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I believe that that belief has caused tremendous pain and damage and suffering around the world and throughout time, not the least of which being here in this land that we call the United States of America, particularly, as we all have been learning, among the indigenous peoples of this land, as Christian colonizers came from Europe into their lands and as Christian settlers spread throughout their lands, so many of the people who were already here were forced to convert, to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or be killed for the sake of their soul, it was said. And this happened in so many other places around the world to so many other indigenous peoples. And I cannot believe that that was ever or ever will be God's desire. I can't. And I think that my disbelief in all of that is in fact supported by today's gospel reading. In this passage, as we heard, Jesus is talking with just his disciples. And by the way, this in the context of Matthew, as we know, it's chapter 25, so it's close to the end. This is one of the last conversations he has with his disciples before Holy Week begins. So he's getting to the end. So he's talking with his disciples about the end times, about when he is going to come back in glory, and who at that time will be invited into God's eternal kingdom, and who will not be invited? And what's the determining factor? Joyce gave us a heads up here. What's the determining factor in deciding who's in and who's out? What does it come down to? It comes down to how they lived. Not what they said they believed, not what they professed, not what they confessed, but how they lived. To the group who will be judged favorably, who will receive God's blessing, who will be welcomed into God's presence with open arms, Jesus says, we could probably all recite this, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. You looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. We're told nothing about their beliefs. We know nothing about the faith they professed. We have no idea whom, if anyone, they confessed as Lord. What we are told is that they saw someone in need, and they responded with compassion. They came upon someone in need and they responded with kindness. They recognized a need for mercy in someone that they encountered and they took action. What seems clear is that they didn't need to know why the need existed or whether it was valid. They simply met the need. They didn't seem to worry about whether someone else could do it better. They simply did what they could in that moment. They didn't care who the needy person was. They didn't know that it was Jesus. That wasn't why they were doing it. They didn't seem to care whether the person deserved to be helped. They didn't seem to care whether their neediness was somehow self-inflicted. They simply opened their hearts and they gave what they could give. They gave of what they had been given in a way that eased that particular need. This group, these people that Jesus described as those who would be welcomed into God's eternal kingdom, seemed to live with open and generous hearts, responding to the needs of the people they encountered with compassion and kindness and mercy, and not because they were looking for praise or thanks or acknowledgement or payback somehow. But simply, it seems to me, because that was their orientation to life. That was their way of being. That was how they showed up consistently in the world. It's how they lived their lives. So did this generous orientation to life spring from their belief in Jesus? Maybe. Was their compassionate way of being in the world a result of their faith in God somehow? Possibly. Did they show up in the world in this open-hearted and generous way because Christ was their king, the one to whom they gave their greatest allegiance and their highest loyalty? It could be, but we don't know. And it seems to me that Jesus is saying that those beliefs, the faith, that professed kingship of Christ were not the determining factors. Were not what it was going to come down to when everything was said and done. I think Jesus was saying, when it's all said and done, and Jesus returns in all his glory, whether people will receive God's ultimate blessing and invitation into God's eternal kingdom will be determined by how they lived their lives. Because that is a reflection of the state of their hearts. How we live our lives is a reflection of the state of our hearts. How we live our lives is a reflection of the state of our hearts. Do we live with open and generous and humble hearts, ready to respond to the needs of those we encounter in our lives, and ready to respond without judgment? Ready to respond without blame. And maybe before we even consider our readiness to respond to the needs around us, we might consider our willingness to see those needs, to see them where we might not want to look, to see them where we might not think they are, to see them when they're messy and embarrassing, to see them when it's inconvenient and ill-timed, because we have to be willing first to see them before we are able to respond to them. And then when we do see them, and when we do respond, are we looking for something? Are we looking for praise? Are we looking for thanks? Do we long to be recognized for our good deeds? And most of us do want that. Do we expect something in return? Are we convinced that we'll get something out of it, even if it's only our secret feelings of humble self-admiration? Or do we do it simply because it's how we live? It's who we are. It's how we are in the world. It's the orientation of our hearts. So, does all of this, everything I'm saying, mean that our beliefs are unimportant, or that our faith doesn't matter, or that our profession of Christ as King has no meaning, no relevance? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. All of that does matter. But I am suggesting that what matters about our belief in Jesus, in large part, is whether it generates a more compassionate orientation to life. I'm suggesting that what matters about our faith in God, in large part, is whether it gives rise to a more open-hearted, more loving way of being in the world. I'm suggesting that what matters about our acknowledgement of Christ as King in our lives is whether it leads us to show up with more and more mercy and kindness and compassion. Because that is what it comes down to. This is what I think the gospel passage is saying today. It comes down to how we live our lives, not what we say we believe, not what we profess, but how we live. And I believe that's true for everyone everywhere, in all times and places. I do not believe that the fundamental desire of God's heart is that all people everywhere in all times and places confess Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior with their lips. I do believe that God desires that all people everywhere experience compassion and mercy and seek truth and justice and live with abundance and grace, in peace and with hope, and that they know in the depths of their being that they are forgiven. They are forgiven, that they are whole, that they are accepted, and that they are God's beloved. I do believe that all of that God fundamentally desires for all people everywhere. And I believe that we, as followers of Jesus and people of faith, and by God's grace, as we experience those things, then by the power of God's Spirit, our hearts are changed. And as our hearts are changed, we show up in the world more and more consistently with open and generous and humble hearts, ready to respond to the needs of the people that we encounter in our lives with compassion, with kindness, with mercy. And in so doing, we meet Christ in other people. And in so doing, we reveal Christ to other people. And as we do that, God's love expands in the world, and God's kingdom comes more and more on earth as it is in heaven. I believe that in our gospel passage for today, Jesus is saying that it all comes down to how we live our lives, not what we say with our lips, because how we live our lives reveals the state of our hearts. And it's the state of our hearts that really deeply affects the world around us. And it's the state of our hearts that matters to God. I'm going to close this morning with a prayer that I found called God of Mercy. So let us pray. God of Mercy, give us eyes to see your face. God of Mercy, give us ears to hear your cry. God of Mercy, give us hands to reach out to you. God of Mercy, give us hearts to know your presence. God of Mercy, give us mercy that we may draw near to you. Amen.